Would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 1? And I'm going to start with verse number 26, the Christmas story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Father, I pray that as our eyes are closed right now, our spiritual eyes will be open. And as our heads are bowed, I pray that our hearts will be open to the truth and the claims of who Christ is. May we learn to trust the word of God. In your name, I pray, amen. This week, I ran across a story that I'm going to share with you. The Great Chicago Fire of 1871 would become too real for 10-year-old Eleanor. She enjoyed playing with her doll and helping her mom around the apartment. She looked forward to the day she would be mom, but would she live to see the morning sun? Shortly after midnight, she had awakened to screams and smoke. Leaving her room was no option as she felt the flames from beyond her door. She had nowhere else to turn except her third-story window. Smoke had consumed the room, and her eyes stung with pain as she felt to find her window. Now it was open. The cool night air on her face was momentary relief from the heat, but her vision was none the better as the smoke greeted the darkness of the night. She yelled, but the noise of cries seemed to come from everywhere. But in the chaos, she heard a familiar voice. It was her father's saying, "Jump, Eleanor, jump. Mom, your brothers and I are okay, jump." She could not see anything. To open her eyes was to invite pain, but she knew it was his voice. She was scared. She prayed for God to help. The heat was almost too much to bear, and she couldn't breathe. Again, she heard from below, "Eleanor, jump, jump now." It was now or never. She must trust the voice in the dark. She leaped into the night, wondering the outcome. It was but a moment, but felt like an eternity. And she landed safely in a blanket held by four men, one being that trusted voice. Eleanor had to learn to trust the voice of her father. Mary, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, had to learn to trust the word of God. The best thing that you can do in life is trust God's word. In fact, verse number 37 said it very clear, "For the word of the Lord will never fail." This is the key for Mary, and it is the key for you and me today. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." So how do we trust God's word? Let me give you some thoughts. First, take in God's word. Take in the word of God. Whenever I went off to go to college, I was introduced to foods that I had never eaten before. I grew up in a small town with a mom who was a great cook, and she was amazing. But I had developed a very narrow palate for food. I just liked her food, and I hadn't tasted a lot of other foods, and I had not even been to very many restaurants. And then I was out with a bunch of people that had eaten Chinese food. I had never eaten Chinese food in my life. Sushi, I did not know. I had no clue. But I was determined to increase my palate so that I can enjoy all these foods that everybody else is enjoying. And so I forced myself to eat everything before me. And there was times that I was taking bites and I felt like I was gonna throw up. The gag reflex would just hit. But I would force myself to eat that food again and again. And over time, my desire for foods began to expand. My palate broadened. Here's the problem when it comes to God's word, is that often all of us or some of us have a very narrow palate because we have not been taken in all of God's word. From Genesis to Revelation, we go to the things that feels good to us, what sounds good to us, what we want to hear, instead of taking in all of God's word. We've got to read God's word, study God's word, meditate on God's word, listen to God's word, discuss God's word, talk with others about God's word. This past week, I happened to spend some time at lunch with Zell Coleman, Pastor Hedy and Guthrie's son. He's 18 years of age. I'm 55 years of age. It was just me and him sitting there talking for an hour and a half. We just both went to back and forth, discussing and talking. What would a 55-year-old and an 18-year-old have in common? You know what we have in common? The Word of God. The Word of God brings together the older and the younger. It brings together no matter your socioeconomic background. It brings together no matter your nationality, your skin tone. The Word of God brings us together. David said this. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against God." Get the word of God in you. Also, you gotta take captive or take the thoughts captive that are not consistent with the word of God. Take thoughts captive that are not consistent with the word of God. This past summer, we had flies galore. I don't know if you had flies galore. We had flies everywhere. In the backyard, the gazebo, bringing food out there was just a nightmare. Trying to keep the flies away, I put up fly traps. Man, they were filling up with hundreds and thousands of flies. And every fly that was caught was one that I didn't have to worry about getting on my food. Thoughts will come, whether you like them or not, that are from darkness, from our own insecurities, from the devil himself, from even other people. But we gotta take thoughts captive and make them be obedient to Jesus Christ. In this story, Mary, it says that she was confused and disturbed. And it says that Mary tried to think about what this could mean. Sometimes we overthink and we just need to trust God's word. Stop trying to just figure it all out. Just trust God. When you are trying to overthink, you will get fearful, afraid, worried. And the angel said, "Don't worry, Mary. Trust the word of God. Trust in God." This past week, I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't fall back to sleep, and I just laid there and I meditated, began to pray. And in the silence of the night, it was so loud. You been there? When it was so still and so quiet, I could hear the refrigerator cycling on and off. I could hear the creaks in the house. Anybody been there? During the daytime, I never hear those things. But in silence, in the stillness, I could hear something that I couldn't hear. You see, the devil wants us to stay busy with the world and to be so busy with life that we cannot hear God's voice. God says, "Be still. Step in solitude, so that I can speak to you." Sometimes we just gotta turn things off and we just gotta sit in the presence of God and say, "God, I need a word from you. Speak to me right now." So take in the word of God. Take thoughts captive that are not consistent with the word of God. And finally, trust. in the Word of God. Trust in the Word of God. Had the grands with me this past week. We got four grandchildren. The third one is a girl, the first oldest of our daughters, granddaughters. We were out back, we had this play area, and there's this ledge up on this play area that's about 9 to 10 feet. And she's 1 year of age. She'll turn two the very last day of January. And I was trying to get her to jump to me, and she was like, no. She was refusing to jump. Come on, jump to me. I mean, like, you can trust me. Come on, jump to me. And I kept on and on. Finally, I gave up, we did some other things, and then I went back, tried to get her to jump to me again. And eventually, she got to the edge, and she jumped into my arms. And I caught her, and I was laughing. She all of a sudden started to laugh. I put her back down. She immediately goes up, back up to the top, ready to jump again. We did it again. I put her down, she did it again. Boom, she did it again. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, that's enough, Eleanor. She didn't want to stop. Because you see, the more you learn to obey God's word, the more you will learn to trust it, the more you will want to jump into his arms. It's like you just whisper, God, and I'll jump into your arms. Because you will know you can trust your heavenly Father. If you can trust me, if my granddaughter can trust me and trust her father, how much more can we trust our heavenly Father? Trusting. We got to obey the word of God. We got to surrender the word of God. And for Mary, you know what she did? The very end there, it says, she says, be it unto me as you have said. Are you willing to say that yourself? God, be it unto me as you have said. Because here's the issue. The word of God is Jesus Christ. John said it this way. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. When that baby was born and laid in a manger, it was the Word of God. He came in the volume of the book. The Word of God is Jesus. And when you trust God's Word, you're trusting in Jesus. But let me just say, we celebrate the baby being born this time of year. But he's not a baby anymore. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is soon to come back. And he is going to step out of glory on a white stallion and begin to come back, riding down the word of God is going to come out of his mouth, and he will take care of all the injustices in the world. Matter of fact, the scripture says it this way. He wore a robe dipped in blood, which is a symbol of being the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. And his title was, set with me, the Word of God. The Word of God is his title. Oh. And right now, the Word of God, Jesus, stands at your door. And you know what he's doing? He's knocking. Revelation chapter 3 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, woman, child will open up the door, I will come in and have dinner with him. How would you like to have dinner with Jesus tonight? Yeah. He is knocking on doors. Will you open up and receive him? There's two things, when everything is said and done, that will remain. Listen to me, from the very back row all the way to the very front. There's two things that's going to remain. First off, the Word of God. Jesus will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his Word remains. The flower fadeth, but the Word of God remains. This book is alive. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Forevermore. The word will remain. Secondly, the souls of people will remain. Every single person in this place is destined to live for eternity. You may be here and you're like, I don't even know if there is a God. God can handle your disbelief and God can handle your struggling. God's just saying, let me show you that I'm God. Open up your heart to him. God has placed eternity in the hearts of every person. And you'll spend eternity in either heaven or hell, either with Christ, so to be absent from this body, to be present from the Lord, or apart from him. Don't spend your life because of your choice away from him. He has done everything he possibly can to redeem you so that you will spend eternity with him. Oh.